Welcome to the Beacon Church podcast. We love that you've tuned in. We hope this message not only inspires you, but more importantly, we pray it helps you grow closer to Jesus.
Hey, this morning we're continuing a series that Josiah started last week on pioneers. As we continue into this idea of God calling us to be pioneers here at Beacon Church, you know, this sort of series was rolling around in my spirit near the end of 2025. I suppose it's just been stirring within me because this church, we are a bunch of pioneers. We're doing stuff we've never done before. We are just charging towards a new location. We're charging towards new things. But not only that, there's just been so much pioneering going on inside the church, just in a short period of time. I was thinking about just in the last couple of weeks, like the women's prayer kicking off and the women just overtaking the church. The Beacon Big Splash that's happening for families, like that's a new thing. It's like, hey, get along to that if you've got kids. It's going to be a lot of fun. Danny and Steve, you cannot not have fun with them. Like it's just, they're just amazing people. And then I was talking to the guys running youth, and then they're launching a whole new strategy and structure in youth in the last couple of weeks. You know, their vision is that every one of these young guys won't come here and not be known or seen or loved by God. So they changed it. They're completely pioneering a new way and it's working. And I believe that God's going to grow the youth. And then there's a Christian business connect group that's happening with Simone Curran and the crew. It's like everywhere I look, I'm like, there's new stuff happening. Like just new pioneering stuff we haven't done before. So I get really excited by the idea of this. And it's all for one reason. All this new stuff is for one reason. Redlands for Christ. Like that's our vision, that's our mission. We want to see this city saved. We want people to know that Jesus will change your life. You know, if there's one thing that I've seen in history, the demise and the destruction of civilization and communities is when people go away from Jesus, and restoration and prosperity comes when we come back to Jesus. And so we're seeing that God is doing great things. There's 65,000 plus homes in the Redlands. Every one of those homes have people that need to know Jesus. I don't know if Jesus has changed your life. He's changed mine. Anyone else had their life changed by Jesus? That's good. You get a bit rowdy in here if you have. So that's where this series comes from. And I think last week, Pastor Josiah really kicked it off well. He's like, Jesus was the ultimate pioneer. Like he set us on course. And he pointed out that Jesus was the firstborn of all creation. That Jesus was the Alpha and the Omega. He starts everything and he's going to finish it as well. And so we can put our trust in him. He's the beginning, he's the end, he's the ultimate pioneer. In him and through him, all things were made that have been made. So Jesus shows us how to pioneer. He shows us that he wants us to take ground. And, you know, I hope that this series just really opens your eyes to the fact that you were called to become a pioneer in some way. But there's a process of getting to that place of pioneering and taking new ground. There's a process in which we all have to go on. And that's what I'm going to be looking at this morning because I think a lot of us have great dreams and aspirations, right? Like, you know, maybe you looked in the mirror this morning and went, I'm going to change the world, right? I hope you have those sort of ambitions. I hope you want to make the world a better place. But it starts somewhere. And in our first series this year, we talked about the seed and the harvest, that God rejoices in our small beginnings. You have to start somewhere. And today we're going to have a look at a story about a man who was like the ultimate pioneer of faith. I mean, a guy that did incredible things. We're going to start with a guy named Abraham. Or as some of us might know him as Father Abraham. And remember that song? Father Abraham had many sons. I am one, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. Like I was saying in the last service, the youth are like, kill me now. Like, what is that? They're like, what are you doing? And I asked Aiden, our kids director, did he know it? He said, of course. I said, good, you're saved. That's good. We've got good leaders in kids ministry. But we all sang that song, Father Abraham had many sons and did the actions and got crazy. Maybe we'll do it in church because Chad, maybe we should, Bella's on maternity leave. We'll just do whatever we want. Fletch is looking after it. Fletch, you answer to me now. Father Abraham. It's coming. Last service, Chad was there and he just like, when he went right arm, he's punched his fist. I was like, man, you're passionate. Like we need you to lead Father Abraham. But Father Abraham wasn't just a father of many kids or a father of nations. He was something, he was a pioneer in many ways. And when God called him to take ground, he did something to do, like whilst taking ground often, and he would dig wells. He would dig wells. And they're significant in Scripture. Wells are significant in Israel because they don't have access to water like we have access to water. It only rains 5 months of 12. And so there's great times of drought and great times of short periods of rain. And so wells were a life source for the people. Without a well, you're dead. Without access to the water underground, you're dead. And Abraham would take ground by digging a well, and then a community would be built around the well. Opportunity would happen with a well. Wells represented not just taking ground, that breaking ground, it established actual power within a community, an area, prominence. It actually gave negotiating power to your enemies, your neighbors, those are your friends as well. So wells meant a lot. And we actually don't see a lot of times in Scripture specifically where we see Abraham build a well, but we do see it in this passage of Scripture here. And this is in Genesis 25, where we see that he's taking some ground. We're going to read this right now. It's 21. Good. And so here we are. We're going to get it up on the screen, right? It's going to be up on the screen. Here we go. Okay, here we go. And Abimelech asked Abraham, "What is the meaning of these seven ewe lambs you have set apart for themselves? He replied, "Accept these seven lambs for my hand as a witness that I dug this well." Ultimately, there's a moment where we see Abraham, he's just dug a well, and he goes to this guy Abimelech. He goes, "I did this. This is my well. Here's seven sheep to prove it, right? Sign the contract. This is my well," okay? Because he made sure that he put in place, "I own this space because it's going to bless my family." And so we see this, and he built many wells, and then this is where I'm going to Genesis 25. In Genesis 25, Abraham dies at the ripe old age of 175. Anyone else want to live that long? Okay, one of you. Okay, right. He dies in Genesis 25, 7, you see that he passes away at 175 years of age. And, you know, he's done some amazing things. He's built many wells. He's grown a massive, like he's done so much. He's the pioneer of pioneers. But what I want to look at is not Abraham's life, because he's passed away now. I'm going to look at Abraham's son's life, Isaac, this morning. And we're going to open up to the Scripture, Genesis 26, 1 to 6. This is about Isaac. And this morning, as we look at Isaac's life, I want to show you the process of becoming a pioneer. Like, as I said, you don't just wake up and just got to do it all. There's a process that God takes us on, and we can learn from Isaac's life. And I think we can all relate to how Isaac approaches what he's called to do. Because for many of us in this room, you just know that you know that you know God's called you something great, but you're not quite sure of how to get there. And that starts in Isaac's life as we read this Scripture. It says this, "Now there was a famine in the land besides the previous famine in Abraham's time, and Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, in Gerar. The Lord appeared to Isaac and said, 'Do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land where I tell you to live. Stay in this land for a while, and I'll be with you and will bless you. For to you and to your descendants, I will give all these lands and will confirm an oath I swore to your father Abraham. I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and will give them all these lands. And through your offspring, all nations will be blessed because Abraham obeyed me and did everything I required of him, keeping my commands, my decrees, and my instructions.'" I just want to just stop there just for a moment. I want to read that again. It says this, "I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and give them all these lands, and through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed." So he says, everyone's going to be blessed because Abraham obeyed me and did everything I required of him, keeping my commands, my decrees, and my instructions. Right from the get-go, Abraham's blessing was connected to his obedience. And because of his obedience, Isaac inherits the blessing if he then too is obedient. And he says, stay here. So Isaac stayed in Gerar. The story goes on for a bit, and we're going to pick up in verse 12. I want you to go read the story yourself, and you know what I mean. It gets a little bit weird. Abraham tells these people that his wife is his sister. Because she's that good looking, he thinks they're going to kill me to get her. Go read it. Anyway, we're not going to talk about that this morning. I'm sure you're all sitting next to your spouse going, "You're that hot, I'd do the same thing too." You know, like, We get back to verse 12. Isaac planted crops in that land, and the same year reaped a hundredfold because the Lord blessed him. The man became rich, and his wealth continued to grow until he became very wealthy. He had so many flocks and herds and servants that the Philistines envied him. So all the wells that his father's servants had dug in the time of his father Abraham, the Philistines stopped up, filling them with earth. So he's obedient. He starts getting to, like, blessed. He's got all these wells that his dad built, and so he's accessing the water. He's doing everything. But then the people in the land are like, we don't like that you're so successful, so we're going to stop the life source, and they fill up his wells with dirt. Who reckons that would just be the worst? Like, you're doing really well, and then literally the tap gets turned off. Like, it's just like, you no longer have access to water. You have no. And so it says, and Abimelech said to Isaac, move away from us. You have become too powerful for us. He had a good time for a while, staying there. But now the wells have been filled up. The life source has been corrupted by the enemy. So what does Isaac do? We don't actually see Isaac fighting in this moment. He doesn't get, like, he just does something that I believe someone who knows they have a pioneer spirit needs to do. Someone who knows that I'm called to bigger things. I've got to go places that no one else has gone. I've got to do things that haven't been done before. This is what he does. He's quick to move on from the disappointment. He's quick to move on from the disappointment. He doesn't stop at disappointment. He doesn't wallow in his problems and his situation. He just gets up and he moves. And I feel like so many, I think people in this room, that you've done really well. You've had moments of great success. Everything's been going well, and then someone's turned off the tap. Something terrible has happened to you. A moment, you've lost the job, or something's gone on in your life that has stopped you in your tracks. It wasn't what it used to be, and you're stuck. You know you're a pioneer. You know that you're called to do more things, but you get caught up in what has been lost, and you are wallowing in your own pain. Can I say this morning, today is the day to get up and keep moving. Get up and keep moving. Isaac shows us that he actually has the spirit of the pioneer. He hasn't started pioneering anything of his own yet at this stage. He hasn't done anything really his own yet. He's just been using his dad's old water supply. And now he gets thrown into a situation to go somewhere else. So it says this. So Isaac moved away from there and encamped in the valley of Gerar, where he settled. Isaac reopened the wells that had been dug in the time of his father Abraham, which the Philistines had stopped up after Abraham died. And he gave them the same names his father had given them. So he gets sent away because he's got too much blessing. They've filled up the wells over here. So he goes to another place. They've also filled those wells. But he decides, I'm going to dig up the wells. I'm just going to dig them back up. It's easier to dig up the old wells than dig a new well. So he gets in there and he goes, I'm just going to dig up these wells. We're going to get water supply. It's the first thing he does. He digs up the old wells. And it's interesting because you're like, that doesn't sound much like a pioneer. He's not doing a new thing. We had the definition of pioneer, the first person to do stuff. Doesn't sound like a pioneer. Doesn't sound like someone that's getting out there and doing something brand new. But here's the thing about the process of becoming a pioneer that I think we can learn from Isaac. While he's thinking about the future, looking for new opportunities, he doesn't jump straight into forging his new ideas. He honors the past and he builds on it. He honors the past. He's like, there used to be great water here. We're just going to dig it back up. We're going to get life. We're going to get living water again. And we're going to start moving again. If I've got water, I can start moving again. Man, there's so many people I meet that are pioneers, got that pioneer spirit, and they just want to remove everything and just, oh, I'm going to take new ground. It's like, yeah, but in the meantime, you're going to get real thirsty. You have no water. We can learn from Isaac. He builds on the past. He respects it. While he's building again, he redigs the old wells. There he is. It's faster to dig an old well than dig a new one. But in that time, this happens in verse 19. It says this, Isaac's servants dug in the valley and discovered a well of fresh water there. So while he's digging old wells, His servants are out there looking to dig new ones. They found where fresh water was. And so God starts to show him that you can start doing new things. He drops into him, like, you are a pioneer. I'm calling you to dig new things. But it happens in process. It's timing. It's timing. But we're going to read this. But the herders of Gerar quarreled with those of Isaac and said, this water is ours. So he named the well Esek because they disputed with him. Then they dug another well. So he's like, okay, we'll dig another well back up. But they quarreled over this one also, so he named it Sitna. If you know that God's called you to pioneer and do new things, there's something that will always happen on the journey of pioneering, getting towards becoming that pioneer. There will be buts. But. I like to call them pains in the butt. Moments where you're like, we're taking ground. Someone goes, no, you can't do that. It's not possible. But. I'm going to tell you, the other day I was down at the shed with a guy that I was like, I need some advice. And he just kept on telling me, you can't do this, but. I wanted to kick him up the butt because I was like, mate, we're going to do it. Like, we're doing it. So you're either with me and find a solution or you're not. Because in my mind, I'm like, but God. But God got us this far. He's not going to leave us now. But God owns all the cattle on the hill. But God knows how we overcome this. God sees the Redlands won for Christ. But. I'm like, don't come at me with your buts as to why it can't happen. Come to me with your buts of, but God. When you're a pioneer spirit, when you've got a pioneer spirit, you have to overcome some obstacles. And the obstacles often pop up when you least expect them. You think, oh, we've just dug a well. Everything's good. We're on track. Can I tell you this morning, the little obstacle popped up. The Mitre 10 are taking down number plates for car parks because there's no car parks left. Good problem. But now I have to deal with that. So maybe come early, carpool, I don't know. But be here. God is doing something amazing. Understand, you will get pushback when you start to take ground. Be aware of it. But moments will occur. Pain is part of the process. Quarreling occurred, disunity occurred, frustration occurred. And it's actually in this moment that we see Isaac step into becoming a pioneer. His past strategies were actually very smart. They were clever. They were thought out. They were strategic. But there is times in your life where you know now is the time. Now is the time. And that's why we constantly have to go to God. We go, God, what is it? Is it right now? Is it later? You don't want to rush ahead of God's plan, but you just need to be connected to Him. And we see in verse 22, he says, he moved on from there and dug another well. He digs a new well. The previous wells, he actually names the same names that Abraham, his father, had. Like, he didn't disrespect the past, so this is the same names. But now he's gone to a new area and he digs a new well. His servants dig a new well. And no one quarreled over it. He named it Rehoboth, saying, now the Lord has given us room and we will flourish in the land. If God has called you to be a pioneer, and Beacon, I believe that in our church we have so many pioneers. So many pioneers that have dreams, big vision. I was talking to a lady in the last service. She's got this dream and this vision. She's like, I'm hitting the obstacles, but I can see it. I can see it. I'm like, keep going. But we see in Isaac's life, there's a moment where he steps into becoming a pioneer to do new things. But it requires something of him. An all-in mentality, he has to change. He has to change what he's always done. He has to change. He has to dig something brand new, leave the old wells behind, and do something new. Building a new well is a lot harder than redigging an old well. But pioneering spirits, those who want to take ground, are prepared for the pain and the challenge because they know the great reward that's on the other side of it, which he speaks of. Now the Lord has given us room and we will flourish in it, in that land.
I have read this story so many times this week. Beck will be testified to this. Last night, we're going out for dinner, and I'm talking to her about this stuff. She's like, do we have to talk about this now? Can we have a nice night? I'm like, it's rolling around going, God, what are you calling us to? What are you trying to say through the story of Isaac? But as I constantly read over it, the stirring within me as, what are you prepared to change? What are you prepared to leave behind to take new ground? This morning, I think God calls us all to ask the question of our own lives. Are you still just happy with digging old wells, or is God calling you to something new? Are you prepared to take new ground in your life? I believe Isaac was always called to dig that new well, but God in his grace and kindness allowed him to grow on the journey to get there, and then when he did, it brought about great transformation for his people. The truth is, it's actually easier just to do what you've always done. Always, it's easier. But if you're doing the old thing and you start to come up against a whole bunch of conflict, contention, maybe God is actually trying to move you into the new thing. Like, you can actually identify when God's saying it's time to move and go. Now will you be obedient, or will you stay and just be in this place of quarreling and problem? When Isaac surrendered to the fact that my dad's old wells, as good as they are not going to get us to where we need to go, I need to go build a new well, that's when things shifted. That's when things shifted. Full surrender to the old ways and went, now I'm going to pioneer something new. He embraces change. He's okay with moving. He's okay with forgetting the former days, the good old days, the old times. And he goes, it's time for something new. There's some tension in this space in regards to this building. I'm like, let's go. I wanted to go yesterday. I wanted to go last year. I'm like, let's go. Like, there's just this tension. We feel, literally this morning, I'm like, I'm laughing at this whole car parking situation. Because I'm like, yeah, it's time to dig a new well. Are you prepared to allow God to do new things in your life? I hope after this service you all go away and just ask this question of yourself. Like, you just go away and say, God, what are you asking me to leave behind so I can see a brand new well built in my life? Is there anything? Maybe you don't need to, because there is no conflict. You're just building on that part. That's okay. Not everyone's called to just start something brand new, but when you observe what's going on in your life, ask God, what is it you're asking me to do? What are you calling me to? God, are you calling me to pioneer something new for my family? Maybe you're stuck in a relationship that ends up in a bad place constantly. You're dating someone who's not a follower of Jesus, and you're constantly going, this isn't working. But you're like, I can't possibly change. And God's like, time to build a new well. Maybe it's actually not even a romantic relationship, it's friendships. You're like, I keep going back to this situation. It is not working. This is not working. And God's like, it's time for something new. You have to leave the past behind completely so I can show you what new well I can build in your life. Bring blessing in your life. Could be a job situation. I mean, you could look at nearly every aspect of your life and go, God, what are you calling me to stop digging and try redigging so I can go build something new? A place of flourishing. We could talk about all this stuff. I could literally go into like a full leadership breakdown. This is how, through scripture, but we're not going there. The real reason and the number one thing I want to talk about from this story is about the well and what a well is for. It's to bring life. There's water in the well. It brings life. And I believe that God is calling us to all pioneer a life with Jesus, to do new things, to go all in for Jesus. There's actually a moment in the New Testament where Jesus rocks up at a well. And this is the moment in John 4, 4 to 16. Now, he had to go through Samaria, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. Can I just point out, Jacob's well was there? Jacob was Abraham's grandson. So Abraham built wells, Isaac built wells, and Jacob built wells. Like, it was the family business. That's what they did. And here's this well that Jesus is now sitting next to. Amazing. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" She's pointing out, Jesus, are you better than the guy that built this well? Like, if you don't understand or comprehend this, this well, I looked into it, in the time of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, it was close to 2,000 years old, this well. Because of the pioneering spirit of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, 2,000 years later, there's a woman being able to live because of their legacy. So she's like, he's kept a lot of us alive. Like, you think, like, you can do better than this water? Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again." Because every day they went to the well. "But whoever drinks the water I give them, they will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." And the woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." She's like, are you telling me I don't have to come here? I can just get free water? Where's the water? And Jesus is like, you're missing it. Water that we deal with daily, the thing that keeps us alive in this life, water, yeah, it will sustain us and we need it. But he's like, I can give you eternal life. Your body will die, but your spirit will go on and you need eternal life. And I want to give you that living water. Come to the well that is me. Come to the well that is me. So how do you get to draw from the well that is Jesus? Like, he promises living water that will spring up within you. A time of refreshing will come daily with Jesus. You're feeling dry and burned out, exhausted. And he goes, hey, I can give you a living bit of water that will just be like a spring to your soul, refreshment for your soul. So how do I get to draw from Jesus daily? How do I go to that well? Because on the practical level, we've got to do all the things we do, but there's a supernatural edge that Jesus goes, this is what you really need. So how do we get it? Well, Peter talks about this in the book of Acts. In chapter 3, Peter and John have just raised a guy who's been lame from birth, and everyone's freaking out. He's walking. And all the people are like, what do we do here? What do we do? And Peter opens up and he says this, "Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord." Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Where does refreshing come from? The living water. To draw from the living water, from the well that is Jesus, it starts with repentance. And repentance means admitting your sin, your fault, your old ways, declaring that you're broken and turning to God, leaving the old ways behind. In many ways, Abraham's wells were good, like they provided water for the daily, but the contention came and God called Isaac to something better, called them something different, called them to something new. And in our lives, Jesus calls us to the same. He's like, yeah, you can keep doing what you're doing and it'll get you so far, but if you want eternal life, you want to know what daily refreshing looks like, if you want to know what this life is all about, come to the well that is me. I'll give you living water. Change your life. When you draw from Jesus on a daily basis, refreshing comes, and you kind of can declare the same thing that Isaac got to when he went to that new space, dug the new well, and he said these words, remember, now the Lord has given us room and we will flourish in the land. When you give Jesus your life and you say, I'm not going to try and keep doing what I've done before, just redigging old wells, and I actually go, your way is better, life and life abundant occurs. The interesting thing about Jesus is through his death and resurrection on the cross, he built the well so we can access the water. Jesus is a well builder. Think about that. Without Jesus' death and resurrection, there's no access to the water. What he did on the cross means you can come and draw from him every day of your life, and it's a free gift. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to strive. You don't have to do what you think, I need to be better. No, he goes, just come to the well. I've done everything for you. Just drink. A time of refreshing will come. Jesus calls us to change. Jesus calls us to leave old ways behind. He calls us into new territory. But he's gracious. He allows us to go on the journey. But there will be a point where he goes, it's time to go all in, build a new well. Like, go into the new thing. The only place I want you to draw from is me. You know, there's this sort of process. So I'm going to get everyone to stand up right now. What Jesus did on the cross is amazing for each person in this room. Each person. He gives everyone a fresh start, a new start, but he also does so much more in our life. Colossians 1:13 to 14 says this, "For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." When Jesus died on the cross, rose again, he dug a new well for forgiveness. Before that, everyone had to kill animals, blood sacrifice. I mean, it was hectic. And he's like, it ends once and for all. I'm making a new way. This no longer has to happen. What you need to do is put your faith in me. Draw from me. I am the life you're looking for. Leave the old life. Come to me. I want you to shut your eyes for a moment. I want you to reflect on your own life. What's God calling you to? Has he placed that pioneer spirit within you to pioneer a new way of living? Leaving the past behind and choosing to follow Jesus and Jesus alone. He wants to change your life. He wants to change your life. He wants you to go all in. And a time of refreshing will come. You might have walked in here feeling so empty, so dry, so sad, so heavy. And he goes, come and have a drink. I love you. I've done everything that needs to be done. You just have to go to come to me. Come to me. Trust me. And maybe that's you this morning. You've never put your faith in Jesus. You've never gone, okay, I'll do it your way. Maybe it's a case of, well, I attempted to do that once or whatever, but it's just like, I need to just go to Jesus. Give him my life. Ask him to change me from the inside out. Pioneer something new in my life. A new way of doing life with Jesus, leaving the past behind. My family, it was my dad who gave his heart to Jesus, went all in for Jesus at the age of about 17, I believe. He was the pioneer of faith for my entire family, three generations now following Jesus, because he went, Jesus, you're enough. I accept that you died on the cross, rose again, and forgive me of my sins to give me a new life. That's amazing. I get to walk in that, the blessing that comes because of his pioneering. Maybe you need to pioneer faith in your own family today. You need to start. You need to go, Jesus, I'm going to start. Change me. I trust you. If that's you this morning, I want you to raise your hand saying, oh, Jesus, I just want you. I want your ways. Just raise your hand across the room. I think there's many people here this morning that go, I need, yep, down the front, yeah, I need you, Jesus. I need you. Other people across the room, just like, I am going to you, Jesus. I accept that you died for me, rose again, and made a well for living water. Is there anyone else across the room? Just raise your hand. I just want to pray for you. I want to pray with you. Okay, yeah, over here as well. Awesome, awesome. We're all going to pray this because repentance, as I said, is not just saying sorry. It's a turning, complete life transformation. I'm changing the way I do things. I ain't going back. I'm going straight to Jesus. That's the only well I'm drawing from. So we're going to pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, we thank you for the cross. We thank you died and rose again. We accept that forgiveness. You made a way so we can access living water. Jesus, help us to change and to only follow you all the days of our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's message. For more information about our church, please head to beaconchurch.com.au. We look forward to welcoming you to our home.